Turn with me, please, to the Song of Solomon's for a couple of verses. Song of Songs, chapter 1, and verse 7. The Song of Songs, chapter 1, and verse 7. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou make thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turns aside by the flock of thy companion? Chapter 2 and verse 17. Chapter 2 and verse 17. Until the day break and the shadow flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountain of Bether. Chapter 4 and verse 6. Until the day break and the shadow flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Verse 8. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amanus, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's den, and from the mountains of the lepers. Then finally, chapter 8 and verse 14. Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like a roe, or to a young hart upon the mountains of spices. The house in Bethany was filled with a sweet aroma. The question that was raised in John chapter 1, Rabbi, where abideth thou? A question is raised in the Song of Solomon chapter 1 and verse 7. Tell me, whom my soul loveth, where feedest thou thy flock, where thou makest them abide? A question of love from every heart that is attracted to the Lord Jesus. John, a disciple that is character by that very fact that he would not mention his name, but as we all know, he was thrilled with the fact to be known the disciple whom Jesus loved. There is no greater title for any of us to be taken upon ourselves. Though we be conscious of it or not, that we are loved by the Lord Jesus. And if that is not going to thrill our hearts and attract us to him, I don't know what else. The fact of the matter is this: responsibility, though it is part of life down here, dwelling on it would not move us one step. Because if we are honest with ourselves, we realize how much we failed. But the question from those who are seeking him, where abideth thou? It does not negate or take away the fact that as we read here, we read about four mountains. The four mountains in the Song of Songs: the Mount of Bether, the mount of frankincense, the mountains of the liberty, and then finally the mount of spices. Four mountains, and each and every one of them would respond to what the saints of God might be going through. But the fact of the matter is this: affection to Christ will move us in the scene. The reality, not that we love Him, but the reality is that we are loved by Him, will move our hearts. That was what touched Ruth the Moabitess. In her own circumstances, hopeless, helpless. What could we get? A Moabitess, a widow in the land of Israel. Nothing for her. But that did not deter her to be guided to where abideth thou. And she went there. Love and affection motivated her, just like motivated Mary of Bethany, to take that all she has and to break it at the feet of the Lord Jesus. The first mountain we spoke about is the Mount of Bether, mounts of ravines, mounts that are cloven. It is not easy to go across them. The circumstances of life that is allotted to all the children of men, we're no stranger to it. The whole creation, as we have mentioned earlier, groaneth. It should not be strange to us. But the challenge to her, come out. Come up from these mountains. Come with me. Because ye have gone through these very same places, sin apart. And where does he direct her hearts? To the mountain of spices. To the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense. Yes, for sure, dear saints of God. The mountains of Bether we read about in verse 17 of chapter 2 are true. But there, she was asking the question, why are you there? He must be of necessity there. He have gone that pathway before. There is no circumstances of life that it is strange to the Lord Jesus. And as we have expressed in the Bible reading, if anything that one desire, that it will be impressed upon our heart, that in every circumstances he comes in, he turned them into a circumstances of joy. I challenge all of us, try it. Try it. Bring him in. It's a sure thing. In whatever circumstances we go in, he have gone through it. I might not have gone through every circumstances. I might not be able to give the comfort or the encouragement. But there is one who have gone through them all. Have gone them through them all. You, loneliness, discouragement, betrayal, you name them. You do good to everyone and they turn all on you. None of us have faced that. We have done. We have faced it. So where is the place? He have gone through that. And as she is going through these things, he kind of direct her heart. And he lift her up from these places and take her to the mount of myrrh and the hill of frankincense. Sure, he had gone there before. The mountain of myrrh. In his birth, myrrh was given to him. How many babies that are born in this world that you know of, that you will bring them such a gift? Myrrh was given to him in his birth, and in his death, 100 pounds. The largest amount that you could read of anywhere was given to him in his death. He have gone through that.
He have gone through the mountain of myrrh, the bitter death. He have tasted to the last drop. That is the lover of my soul. For you and for me. He have gone through the pathway of the wilderness. But to secure you and I, and to bring us near and dear to his heart, he have gone into the mountain of myrrh. Sure. He have seen it every step of the way. But what a fragrant. When that myrrh, when fire was applied to it. What fragrant. That bitterness of it. But when fire was applied to it, what rose up? That sweet smelling savor that rose to heaven those very dark hours when he was offered up. That there will be no myrrh left for you or left for me. He have finished it all. But there from the mountain of myrrh, he takes her to the hell of frankincense. Yes, dear saints of God, as he had gone through that, he is now seated at the right hand of God, a priest. And there, to all our praise and prayer, he adds his sweet perfume. Sure, weakness is there. Here we are. He adds his sweet perfume. But that's one aspect of it. In the hell of frankincense. The priest is there. For you and for me. On his breast. On his heart of love. Your names are engraven. On his shoulder of power. Your names are graven. Where abidest thou? If he was here on earth, you want to abide where he is because he have gone through and you will go through with him. And even as he is there, keep in mind that you are there with him, seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But there, dear saints of God, there is a priest. There is one who bring all of these wonderful fragrance to the heart of the Father. And there, he is making intercession. He is there for you and for me. Knowing everything. And yet able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Not half a way, not just a little bit. Save to the uttermost. The security. Because there is a priest in the very presence of God. On our behalf. The hell of frankincense. It is full of frankincense. This sweet smelling odor. That is rising up. When we are together. Sometimes in weakness. There is a fragrance. Every time one believes. That the name of Jesus is uttered. There is some great music. That none of the angels. Could perform. When it comes from the lips. Of those who have been touched by his love and by his grace. That lowly name, when you utter it, even in the time of distress, oh, there is frankincense going up to the nostrils of the Father. And there is music to his blessed ear. When just a believer in a simple way just expressed, Jesus loves me, this I know. It might be something very little. It might be something very little. But the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, when it rises to the heart of God, he is taking us away. Don't worry about the mountains that are full of ravines. Don't even worry about the mountains of the leopard. It is not only difficulties from without. Sometimes it's difficulty from within. It's from without. And it's a very strange and dangerous animal. These don't come
in front of you. These usually come behind you. It is sometimes when you don't realize, or when you don't expect it, there will be some attack. But he told Abraham, fear not. I am thy shield, thy exceeding great reward. What he's saying is this, if anybody is going to come to you, he has to go through me. Just picture that. He is telling Abraham, I am your shield. If anyone is going to come, he has to talk to me first. He has to pass through me first. Who could do that? If God with us, who could be against us? The one who have not spared his son, but deliver him for us all. Dear saints of God, what portion is ours? What weakness are we talking about? If our eyes just be open to realize the place where he have, because he went to the mountain of myrrh, and now because he is sitting on the top of the hill of frankincense for you and I. It's all for you and for me. Of course, it is also for the delight of the heart of God. But that with that would lead me to, it lead me to the final mountains in there, just for a brief the time, the mountain of spices. We talk lately about aromatherapy. It's everywhere. He said it does you good. Here is aromatherapy that does you a lot of good. The mountain of spices, not just a little something that are very, very expensive. There is a mountain of it. Mountain of spices that are full of that greatness, the love, and the grace of the Lord Jesus. Wonderful in the Gospel of John. The word grace is mentioned four times. And it's mentioned four times in the first chapter between verse 14 and verse 18. Grace upon grace. The concentration of it, it's because he came here in the sea. The concentration of it. She said, come. She wants him to come very, very quickly. If he is right now, alone have gone to the mountain of myrrh, alone now at the top of the hill of frankincense. But the day will come when he will take us to the mountain of spices. I believe that's the Father's house. He will take us up there. John's gospel is just the gospel, as we have heard, speaks about the Father's house. He will take us there. And there, all the spices, all the treasures, all the hidden things. When Jacob blessed Joseph, he spoke about the hidden things of the deep, the excellent things of the mountain. All of these things that today we know very, very little. We're touching the surface and you feel intimidating looking at the Gospel of John. I always said, when the Queen of Sheba said, the half has not been told, that was in regard to Solomon. Don't apply that to the Lord Jesus. I really do not believe it's a half. I believe it's 99.99%. We are not told. Yes, concerning Solomon, maybe it is half, but not concerning my Lord. We are going up to the mountain of spices. And there, dear saints of God, when Paul went, came back, didn't know what to say anymore. Talking about silent, just came down and didn't know what to say anymore. Do we have some of these moments in the presence of the Lord Jesus on the top of the mountain of spices, having gone to the mountain of myrrh, having gone to the hill of frankincense? Do we have these moments of quietness? Don't despise those moments. Life is very busy. We're all busy, busy. The days are still 24 hours, but I don't know what happened to them. They just go. These moments that will encourage the saints of God. She asked a question, where? They asked a question, where? We saw in John chapter 1, the result of be abiding with him. And here we see the mountaintop that he takes us to until he brings us to that place where all the spices, all the fragrance, everything concerning Christ will be unfolded before our eyes, not only for a day, not only for a month, not only for 1,000 years, for the endless ages of eternity. We will hear it over and over and over again. This is my beloved Son, in whom I found my delight. May our heart be encouraged to be lifted up, to be associated and attached with Him. It is our portion. It will be sad if we don't enjoy it here. We will definitely enjoy it there when we are in His presence in the Father's house. Amen.